And we're back with our special guest, Dr. Judy Wood and attorney Jerry Leppard. And we're going to go right back to Jonathan. Jonathan, you're on.
Okay, Ambrose. Basically my point is this. I figured concrete will be the last material they want to use when it comes to construction of a skyscraper, because the thing is, skyscrapers, the taller they are, the more these buildings are flexing in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And concrete is not the material that's flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it has no flex point like steel, pencil steel. I wonder, are any other skyscrapers are built like that? And the thing is, another thing too, like that might have been a contributor why the World Trade Center gave in. If there was a secret weapon to destroy, maybe that might have been a contributor why the building came down so quick, because the material they used, it was basically a displacement of the material that should have used as well as the steel that they should have used to actually put for building the World Trade Center. And it was basically replaced by using concrete. And I figured that might have been a contributor why the building came down quick like it did. I mean, if that was happening to any other skyscrapers like the John Hancock or Empire State Building, would their buildings collapse the same way as the World Trade Center?
Dr. Wood?
The World Trade Center towers were built out of steel. All of the load-carrying ability was steel.
So there was no concrete to actually build?
The concrete was sort of cosmetic, you can think of. There were four trusses, and then there were metal corrugated pans that sat on those with just a little thin coat of concrete, very lightweight concrete, so that high-heeled shoes don't pop through. It was just for a floor covering.
So would you say other skyscrapers are built the same way, too?
The World Trade Center was built much stronger than any other skyscraper.
Okay. Another thing, too, when it comes to, like, when the mother planes, when they had smashed into the World Trade Center and then to the Pentagon, I figured, like, with those aircrafts, you know, they would have drone activation systems, and, you know, if they would have them, they would have had ample time to actually guide those planes away from the U.S. land and probably just take them over the Atlantic and just figure out what they want to do with those aircraft, whatever aircraft that's remaining, right?
Right. There's a lot of questions left about the aircraft themselves, and I'd like to note that in the 1970s, we had, it seemed like a hijacking a week. It was getting ridiculous by the end of the 70s. And folks who recall back then, hijacking just abruptly stopped in the early 80s, around 1982, plus or minus. And
okay.
We haven't really had any since then. And then we suddenly have four in one day.
Okay. So let me ask you something. So all that powder, when the World Trade Center collapsing, would you say that was just asbestos, or was that concrete that's actually being vaporized?
Well, there was a lot of steel in the building. And if you look at the rubble pile, there's very little steel left, and there's not much of anything else. There's no file cabinet, no desk, no chairs, no computers. Think of how many thousands of computers were in those buildings.
Mm.
Yeah, and all that is gone. There's
nothing.
No trace. Right.
No telephones.
Okay. Hey, well, that's all I have to ask. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Ambrose.
All right. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thank you.
My God, no telephones even.
Nothing. No people.
Now, back up. What did you say about there being four buildings?
Seven buildings. But building four, which was just directly east of Tower 2, the first tower to go away.
Uh huh.
The top of Tower 2 tipped over, but then it never hit the ground. It just turned to dust before it got down there. But if it had gone down to the ground, it would have landed on the main body of Building 4. But the main body of Building 4 is completely gone. Ground, and it's all just taken down to ground level with a few sticks scattered around on top of it.
My God.
But the north wing of Building 4 is there, in, you know, completely standing, as though it was just sliced off.
Now, there were seven buildings that went down? Seven.
The building, towers one and two are the main ones that
right.
people noticed. Building three was the Marriott Hotel. It was 22 stories tall.
Right.
It only had just a little corner of about two or three stories when the day was done.
Mm-hmm.
A little stub left. And building four I just described. Building six was adjacent to tower one. And it lost, oh, approaching 50% of its mass with just these big vacant holes in the middle. You look at the aerial shot, there's very little building left. And that was an eight-story building, which the rubble pile was towering over the remnants of Tower 1. So you have this 110-story building that is now dwarfed by an eight-story building.
My God.
And then in the corner is Building 5, which had these big round holes in it by the end of the day.
And no government agency has explained any of that. Is that right?
No, no governmental agency has looked at, has taken that sort of forensic approach to assessing what happened. Now, the an earlier caller, Ambrose, asked about media.
Right.
And when that question was being asked, you know what, the name of your program came immediately to mind, Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
We ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do this ourselves. Judy Wood set about the task of establishing what happened on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't address the issue of who did it, although,
right.
you know, it certainly eliminates some possibilities and makes it more likely, you know, than that others rather than, you know, some did it. For example, we can rule out with virtual 100% certainty that, you know, 19 hijackers from the Middle East with box cutters did not do it. They're not the culprits here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, unless by box cutters we mean particle beam weapons.
Because many of those named are still alive in here.
That's right. So we know that they didn't do it. Now, in order to avoid excessive politicizing of the matter, where you know where people are then just free to say what they believe and what they don't believe, and you know, and then put it to a vote. I don't think we immediately jump and say that, you know, the administration did it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We know that the capacity to do this requires access to the most sophisticated weaponry that the U.S. has.
Right.
Okay, so certainly, the military is complicit. But we have to assume that within the military there would be resistance to killing our own citizens.
Yep.
Okay, we do have to consider that. So we next have to consider, well, are there rogue elements who have apparatus or who have access to the apparatus of power,
mm-hmm.
to the levers of power, such that they can, eliminate, significant elements of the chain of command from even knowing what's going on?
Yeah.
And there, I think what we then implicate is the secrecy apparatus that has been allowed to grow inside the governmental structure, the ability to classify, the ability to segment, to compartmentalize, to keep, people, in the dark and not knowing what's going on, such that you can create a parallel government, or if not government, certainly you can create a parallel power structure that is accountable to no one and that is indeed virtually unknown to most people.
Mm-hmm.
So we ourselves then, you know, have an enormous task ahead of us to figure out, you know, who did this.
Mm-hmm.
It may likely have something to do with what we generally call the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what that is, and we don't know who's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But we ourselves are the ones who are going to have to set about the task of finding out.
Okay, let me ask the two of you if you can stay over for a little while, because we have some callers and want to get as many as possible in. We'll be right back, and we won't keep you too much longer.
Okay.
Okay.